and the gazelle were nowhere to be found, and I instantly knew that was gazelle's doing, probably saying some bullshit like they needed to be left alone. The fuck they did. I made my way toward him, grabbing her jean jacket off the table and shoving it in front of her, stepping in between him. A little cold in here, yeah? I announced, turning my back to her date and onto her tits. She jerked back, caught off guard, narrowing her eyes at me, following it up with a questioning glare. I didn't know you slummed, Mia. Who's the guy in the vest? Little shit behind me asked, making his presence known. I looked over my shoulder to lay into the motherfucker for his comment, but was stopped when I felt a hand on my chest, bringing my attention back to her. Mia shoved her jacket into my chest.
Don't ruin this for me,
she mouthed. I crossed my heart with my index fingers, giving her a shit-eaten grin. She sighed, rolling her eyes, and stepped around me and started to talk to her date again. I turned, putting my arm around her, placing the jean jacket on her shoulders.
What are you doing here?
She questioned, slipping it off her shoulders and draping it over her arm, knowing better than to put it back down on the table. Aren't you going to introduce me to the boy?
Oh, where are my manners?
She sassed, shaking her head.
Creed, this is Rick. Rick, this is Creed, one of my brother's best friends. Happy, now what are you doing here?
Nice to meet you, Dick. Rick, he corrected. That's what I said. Didn't Mason tell you he invited me? I wouldn't miss this. I paused, gesturing between her and Dick. For the world. She shot me a warning look. Said you needed babysitting. Where the fuck is he anyway? I backed away, looking around the arcade.
Over there, finding us a table to eat while we wait for the lanes to open up. Giving Rick and I some space to talk and hang out. You know, the things you do on a date.
She stated, emphasizing the last word.
Maybe you should go help them out.
Nah, I'm good. She rolled her eyes again, trying to initiate conversation with the fucking pretty boy standing in front of her, talking about some bullshit that didn't matter. Mason waved us over to the table after a few minutes of her pretending like I wasn't even there. Ladies first, I insisted, gesturing for Mia to lead the way, stepping in close behind her so I could cut off her pretty boy date. I could hear him grumbling under his breath as he walked over to the table. At the last second, I decided to stop at the bar, grabbing Mason, Gazelle, and myself a beer. Mia had a sweet tea and Dick a chocolate milk in a fucking kitty cup. Mia scowled when I handed it to him, Mason chuckled under his breath. I thought it was pretty fucking funny. Was trying to be polite, I murmured into the side of her face, taking a seat beside her. Dinner carried on. Mason and Gazelle talked about what they were doing during our leave, not paying any attention to anyone else at the table. While Mia hung on every word that left Dick's fucking mouth, I just sat there like the odd man out, sipping my beer, taking in all the bullshit he was spouting to her. My dad owns a blue 1968 Plymouth Roadrunner with a 340 six-pack that's 500 horsepower. When I turn 17 next month, it's all mine. Maybe you and I can head up the coast, take a drive or something, he suggested, winking, causing her cheeks to turn bright red.
Oh my God, that is so awesome. My uncles are into fast cars.
Mia replied, leaning over the table, twirling her hair around her finger, acting like she really knew what the little shit was talking about. Do you like fast things? He implied, cocking a smile, brushing his thumb over her hand on top of the table. I resisted the urge to break his fucking fingers. Damn, at least know your shit when trying to impress your girl. A 1968 Plymouth Roadrunner with a 340 six-pack can only have 290 horsepower. That's like saying you got a 10-inch cock when it's really 5. I chimed in, shrugging, taking another swig of my beer, eyeing him over the rim. Mia choked on her drink, clearing her throat, bringing his attention back to her.
I'd love to take a drive with you one day,
she smiled. Good luck with that, Dick. Her daddy's like a rabid guard dog, just waiting to rip a boy to shreds. Why do you think this is her first? Mia's foot connected with my shin, kicking me under the table. I grinned, going to the bar. Pushing out my stool, I headed over to get another beer, keeping an eye on the table while I waited, watching Mia toss her hair, talking animatedly with her hands. All while cocksucker's eyes strayed to her cleavage. I decided to stay at the bar, trying to play nice. Mason and Gazelle eventually made their way over, giving the couple some space. They downed some beers with me, then took off, saying their lane opened up for some shit. I kept my eyes on Mia and her date, knowing where they were at all times, roaming around before stopping to play a couple games of bowling, taking a lane a few rows down from Mason and Gazelle's. I would catch her glancing my way from time to time, flashing her contagious fucking smile at me, looking so goddamn grown. Where'd the baby girl with pigtails go? It was like she grew up overnight, wearing makeup, highlighting her bright blue eyes and plump, pouty lips that were almost too big for her tiny face. dark brown hair long and straight cascading down her slender back. Smelling so fucking good. I shook off the thoughts that could only bring trouble, throwing back some more beers, trying to ignore the fact that Mia wasn't a baby girl anymore, but a 15-year-old turning into a young woman. One that I couldn't keep my damn eyes off of. Chapter 20. Creed. 5 years later, I got off my stool at the bar and headed to the bathroom to take a piss. When I came out, Mason and Gazelle were back at the table, looking over to the far wall where a row of carnival-style games filled the space. One that caught my eye was a red booth lined with stuffed animals and a bright neon sign that said Shooting Gallery. Me and Dick were waiting in line to play. It was one of those games where targets would pop up and you had a few seconds to shoot them down. Looked easier than it really fucking was. Dick stepped up to the booth, grabbing the rifle while Mia stood back, excited to watch her pretty boy try to win her a prize. I took a seat with Mason and watched what this kid could do. He positioned the rifle at his shoulder and looked through the scope, waiting for the bell to ring. It did. One target after another started popping up as he took shots to get them to fall. Mia was jumping up and down like a fucking cheerleader, clapping her hands, rooting him on. Ping, ping, ping. The BBs hit the metal targets, missing about 10 when all was said and done.
That was so good,
Mia shouted, practically fucking bouncing over to him. The little shit handed her a small pink stuffed teddy bear and she threw her arms around his neck, hugging him a little too close and long for my fucking comfort.
Creed, no,
Gazelle warned before I even got out of my chair. The expression on my face must have given me away. What? Little friendly competition won't hurt anyone. Boy's got to grow some balls sometime, I said, looking over at her. He needs to be pegged down a few steps. I don't like the way he's looking at her. Mia will give me shit if I do it. I don't want to hear it. Go fucking show him up, Mason agreed, nodding to me.
Ugh,
Gazelle scoffed out.
You both are terrible.
I stood, making my way over to the booth, walking up behind Mia, who was still hugging the little shit. I whispered near her ear, watch this. She jerked back, pulling away from him, caught off guard by my voice coming up behind her. I grinned, picking up the rifle Dick had just used and positioned myself in place. Ready, set, shoot, the game attendant shouted. The bell rang once again. Each target popped up and fell before he was even fully upright. I shot at every angle from where I stood, never moving my goddamn feet. One target right after the other fell over without so much as a blink of an eye, catching the next target before it barely had a chance to move, tracking it with my gun. A buzzer sounded over the shooting gallery and the announcer came over the PA system. We have a hot shooter, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see if he can survive the bonus round. No one ever has. The crowd began to gather, including Mason and Gazelle, wanting to get a glimpse of the excitement, looked over at Mia and winked. Dick stood there with his arms crossed over his chest, pouting like the pansy-ass pussy he was. I cocked the rifle, waiting for the signal to go. Ready, set, shoot! This time the targets are moving, flipping up faster but falling down just as quick as before. I moved with stealth precision, white-knuckling the gun, taking out the targets that they were the fucking enemies of war, having flashbacks of being on the battleground, killing everything that fucking moved. Lights and buzzers echoed all around me, bringing me back to the now. Sir, the game attendant interrupted, bringing my attention to him. I tried to shake off the haze and haunting memories. I have been running this game for over 3 years, and you were the first to kick its ass. That was awesome to watch, man. How do you know how to shoot like that? I set the rifle down, pulling out my dog tags under my shirt. You're a soldier. I'm a sergeant, I corrected him. His eyes widened. Damn, man. Thank you for your service. I nodded, locking eyes with Mia, who was looking at me with an expression I couldn't read, as if she knew where my mind had wandered off to, staring from me to the attendant, back to me again, taking in what he just said, with our connection feeling stronger than it ever had before. Choose your prize, man. You can get anything from the top. They're the best prizes, he added. I smiled, breaking the sudden tension between us. Choose your prize, Pippin. She smirked, looking away from me, realizing it was the first time I was getting her something for a change. She pointed to the huge bear wearing camouflage, holding an American flag. I chuckled, narrowing my eyes in on Dick. That's how real men do it, boy. Walking past him to the other side where Mason and Gazelle were standing with the rest of the bystanders. Didn't take long for Gazelle to lay into me.
Wow, Creed. You are something else. You got into a pissing contest with a 16-year-old boy. Congrats, asshole. Poor Mia. If it's not her daddy, it's her brothers. Today, it's you. I'm not going to stay around while you two terrorize her date. I'm going over to the movie theater.
She abruptly turned, walking to the doors. Gazelle, come on, baby. It was all in fun. Mason called out from behind her. Fuck. Not spend the next 10 days fucking fighting with her. We do that shit enough. Do me a favor, bro. Keep an eye on Mia. Make sure the little fucker doesn't overstep. I need to go take care of that. He gestured to the door as Gazelle left out of. I nodded. Thanks, man. I owe you one. I watched him leave, chasing after Gazelle. I couldn't give him too much shit. They did fight a lot. Anyone could see he loved her, but they didn't want the same things. They were so fucking different. Sometimes I wondered how much longer they could make it work. Pissed off, Dick caught my attention from the corner of my eye, rushing toward the exit in the back of the building where I was parked, with the concerned Mia following close behind him, hugging her bare to her chest. They were standing by the curb when I walked out, talking. I went over to my bike, grabbed my smokes, lighting one up, leaning against the metal frame, listening from afar. I'm going to call it a night, he asserted, opening his car door.
I'm sorry, Rick. I'm so embarrassed. I didn't know my brother would call in reinforcements.
Me apologized when she didn't fucking have to. Little shit was leaving her there. Maybe next day you can leave your bodyguards at home. She sighed.
I don't know about that one. Maybe with time it will happen. But I'm just really happy to be out with you tonight. I mean, maybe next time.
How many times will you need a babysitter? He cut her off with a look I wanted to wipe off his sorry-ass fucking face. Mia jerked back, not knowing what to say. I didn't falter. Little shit hurt her feelings. As many times as it takes for me to realize she ain't gonna spread her legs for you, motherfucker, I chimed in from a distance.
Creed!
Mia turned, realizing I was there, glaring at me. Sorry, Mia. I didn't sign up for this. Call me when you're allowed to grow up. He spoke over his shoulder, getting in his car. She turned back around to stop him, but he slammed the door in her face. It took everything inside me not to go over there and teach him some goddamn manners, a little fucking respect. He backed out of his spot, looking in his rearview mirror, watching Mia raise one of her arms up in the air, the other holding the stuffed animals we'd won for her. Not giving a fuck, he still took off. She shook her head, dropping it in defeat once he was gone.
Why? Why, God? What have I done to deserve this?
She said to herself, looking up at the sky. Pippin, don't be so damn dramatic, I blew out with a wad of smoke. She slowly turned around, coming face to face with me from across the parking lot, with nothing but fury in her bright blue eyes. She seethed.
You!
Marching over to me like she was going to do something. I eyed her up and down, bringing my cigarette back up to my mouth, struggling to hold in a lap she stood in front of me, all 5 feet and nothing of her.
How could you do that to me?
Stomping her foot on the ground, she pointed at me.
You know how my daddy treats me. You know how my brothers do, and you know all I wanted was to experience something real, something true. How could you ruin that for me?
She snapped, chucking one bear, then the other at my head. I ducked, only pissing her off more. Only thing you were going to learn, sweetheart, was how to get to second base, I rasped, speaking the truth, taking her in, nodding toward her chest. Surprised your old man let you leave the house dressed like that. Just 'cause he's wearing a collared shirt don't mean shit. Doesn't mean he's a nice fucking guy.
Well, wearing that cut don't either.
I never expected what would happen next. Or maybe I fucking did.
Mia, I always picture my first date to be like a fairy tale. Boy meets girl. Boy falls in love with girl. Boy asks girl to get married. My first date didn't even make it till the end because of a high-handed, stubborn-ass man covered in tattoos. Creed Jameson. I can't believe you did this to me. Not only did you embarrass me, you scared off the one boy who paid attention to me. I shouted, jabbing my long index finger into his chest as hard as I could. Who do you think you are? He just stood there, leaning up against his back, one leg over the other, with his arms crossed over his broad chest. His cigarette sat on the corner of his lips while a look of amusement played on his face, a face I wanted to punch so bad. I thought my dad and brothers were horrible, but Creed took the cake. I had never been so embarrassed in my entire life. Everything was going great until he showed up. I felt him before I even saw him walk up behind me. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't shocked as shit that he was there. The bowling alley wasn't exactly the place a man of stature hung out at. I knew as soon as he opened his mouth, my fairy tale night would turn out a nightmare. He made a point to make Rick feel unwelcomed, uncomfortable, and unapproved of, taking every chance he got to make my life a living hell. I didn't falter, continuing on. You, of all people, knew how important tonight was for me, how long I've waited for this, and what do? You ruin everything.
Not ruined, protected,
he simply stated, taking a drag of his cigarette. I don't need your protection. You're about to need some, though. I shoved his chest as hard as I could. He didn't waver.
Is that right?
He drawled out, smoke seeping from his lips. Yes, that's right. I wouldn't have said it if it weren't. I didn't know what was worse, him standing there all cool and collected, or the fact I couldn't get a reaction out of him. The whole evening was an embarrassment, from him correcting Rick at dinner, insulting the size of his manhood, to showing him up at the shooting game, and all the endless jabs in between. Mason was no help either. He played along with Creed. Giselle was the only one having any sympathy for me. In a matter of a few hours, Creed drove Rick away, making him leave me on the curb with nothing but insults. All I wanted was to feel normal, to feel like a girl, wanting a cute boy in the 11th grade to like me. Most of all, I wanted to experience his lips on mine. My first kiss. I guess you couldn't always get what you wanted. Life wasn't all hearts, flowers, and unicorns, especially when a tall, broody man rolled into your life. What he put me through all night was unacceptable, but I couldn't help notice the look in his eyes. They spoke volumes over the chaos of the bowling alley. He watched over me like a big brother, but his eyes held something more, something that made my stomach flutter like it did all the time when he was around, and my heart race out of my chest. His penetrating glare could be felt deep within my soul from across the room, roping me in, taking a hold of my heart and not letting go. I was conflicted. My mind and heart raged a war on each other all night. My mind hated him for his actions, but my heart loved that he really did care. He was just jealous. I was over to Creed in three strides, standing on my tiptoes, getting right in his face. I was beyond pissed with him. His behavior was shitty. I wasn't his by any means. Rick's going to go to school on Monday and tell everyone. I'm going to be the laughing stock of the 10th grade. I'll never get asked to go out on another date, I yelled, shoving him even harder than before.
Good, let him run his mouth. He's no good for you. We'll keep other little shits away, too.
Oh, just like you're not good for me. So, tell me, Creed, will anyone ever be good enough for me in your eyes? Will I ever be good enough for you? I threw his words back at him, not giving him a chance to respond. He was nothing but a gentleman to me. You don't get it. Tonight was supposed to be perfect. I shoved harder. He still didn't budge.
Pippin, he spent the whole fucking night staring at your tits. All he wanted from you was your pussy,
he vulgarly blurted out. Before I knew what I was doing, my palm connected with his cheek, smacking him right across the face. You don't get to talk to me like that. His head cocked back from the impact. I ignored the stinging pain that radiated through my hand, pounding my fists into his chest, finally losing all resolve, not caring who was watching us outside the building. He took it all. All I wanted was for him to kiss me, to experience what every other girl has already done. You took that away from me, you asshole! You had no right! You ruined my fairy tale ending! I didn't let up on his chest, hitting him harder and harder again. Finally, over the fact that I wasn't getting anywhere with him, I stopped, glaring deep into his amused gaze. He nonchalantly brought a cigarette up to his lips, took a long drag, blew the smoke above my head, and flicked it to the ground. I never expected what happened next. Never in a million years. He stepped forward, closing the small distance between us. His rough hands reached up and grabbed a hold of my cheeks. The smell of cigarettes, beer, and mint immediately assaulted my senses as he pulled me up to his level, leaning in, laying his lips on mine. He kissed me. My eyes shut tightly, my breathing hitched, and my arms fell to my sides in defeat. All the fight in me was gone. I had no clue what to do but stand there and feel what I had wanted for so long. His lips were rough but smooth against mine. My heart drummed so fast, I swear he could hear it. My knees went weak the longer his lips stayed on me. It was the most overwhelming, mind-blowing, consuming feeling I'd ever felt in my entire life. There would be no coming back from this, ruining me for every other boy that may come along. As if reading my mind, he slowly parted his lips, pulling me in closer. Placing my shaken hands on his chest, I parted mine, following his lead, matching the same rhythm he set. His tongue touched my lips, leaving the craziest sensation in its wake. I pulled back my tongue, and he took it as an open invitation to gently push his into my awaiting mouth. His tongue sought out mine, turning the kiss into something more than I knew he intended it to be. As if he was getting lost in me as well. No words could come close to describing what was happening in that moment between us. The feelings he stirred deep within my core matched my emotions with each stroke of his tongue. Feelings I didn't think were possible to experience, that I didn't even think existed. I never wanted him to stop kissing me. A soft moan escaped my mouth as he pecked my lips one last time, gradually pulling away from me, leaving me breathless and wanting more. Incoherent thoughts ran rapidly in my mind. When my eyes fluttered open, he was grinning down at me, not removing his hands from the sides of my face. His amused stare hadn't changed. If anything, it was worse. He murmured against my lips.
Give you your first kiss, now stop fucking bitching.
Softly pecking me again before pulling away. Taking everything I ever wanted. Him. Chapter 21. Mia.
Are you okay? You haven't been yourself since your date. Spill,
Giselle insisted, walking back into the living room at her apartment, having a seat next to me on the couch with popcorn and the remote control in hand. She invited me over for a much-needed girls' night, full of chick flicks, mani and pedis, and popcorn. Mason was going to be out for the night. He was leaving in a few days to go back to base and wanted to see some of his old friends.
I'm fine. I promise,
I lied.
You know, just because I'm your brother's girlfriend doesn't mean you can't talk to me, Mia. Maybe I can help.
She looked over at me.
I know. It's just, well, I'm a little confused, was all I could get out.
Is that about your date? I nodded, biting my lip.
What happened? When we came out from the movie, Rick was gone, and you and Craig looked like you were,
I don't even know, fighting? I don't blame you if you laid into him.
What an asshole. It was almost like he...
Her phone rang from the table. Mason's face flashed on the screen, interrupting her train of thought, stopping her from saying what I knew she was about to say. I had never been so grateful for my brother as I was in that second. She picked it up and walked into the kitchen, leaving me alone with my thoughts.
Your brother is drunkity drunk drunk, she chuckled, walking back into the room, throwing her phone back on the coffee table.
Speaking of the devil, I guess Craig met up with him at the bar. He's coming home with Mason. Gonna crash in the other guest room.
No worries. It won't interrupt our girl time. Who knows what hour of the night they'll crawl in. They're both shameless.
I nodded again, not knowing what to say, shocked at the fact that I would get to see him again. I hadn't seen him since he kissed me. I couldn't tell if he was avoiding me on purpose or if he was just being Creed. Going long absences before I saw him again had been our relationship since day one.
Anyway, what was I saying?
She asked, cocking her head to the side.
Oh, yes, the date. I'm so sorry, Mia. I tried really hard not to let that go down. I had no idea they'd turned into complete assholes and terrorized the kid. But you know your brother. He does what he wants and doesn't give two shits about what other people think.
I know. How are you guys? I replied, trying to change the subject and take the heat off me.
She sighed. Well, it depends on what day you ask me. Today, we are great. Yesterday, I wanted to kill him.
Yeah. I love Mason. I love him with all my heart. I've loved him ever since the first day I laid eyes on him. I wanted to marry...
Wanted to? I interrupted, narrowing my eyes.
What?
You just said you wanted to marry him, not want.
She frowned.
I did?
Yeah. She looked around the room like she would find the answers written on the walls or something.
Wow, she breathed out, looking at me embarrassed.
I'm tired of putting my life on hold for him.
I jerked back, surprised by her revelation.
I feel like I have given so much of myself to him, and it's never been mutual. I'm still bitter that he enlisted in the damn army without even talking to me first. I feel like he constantly puts me in second place. We haven't even talked about his discharge. What's going to happen when he's done serving? He has less than a year left. I have a feeling in my gut, Mia. He wants to re-enlist, and that's why we haven't talked about what's next. If he's going to battle for the United States again, he's going to have to battle with me.
I wouldn't be surprised if my brother became a permanent soldier. I had overheard some conversations he had with our parents, and I could tell he really loved his military life. He had no regrets, and this wasn't some phase for him.
If he goes, I don't think I can sit around and wait for him any more, she confessed, looking down at her hands. Please, don't tell him I promise. He won't hear it from me.
Looking back up at me, she smiled. Her worry immediately subsided.
So, back to you. What happened that night?
I don't even know, I blurted, speaking the truth.
I liked Rick. He seemed like a nice kid. Has he tried to talk to you at school or anything?
Not really, but I've been avoiding him, too embarrassed to show my face.
Do you like him?
You know, like really like him. Butterflies in the stomach. Makes your heart skip a beat, sweaty palms.
I shrugged. I've felt that before. Just not with Rick, I wanted to say.
Listen, I'm only telling you this stuff because I'd rather you hear it from me and not some teenage hussies. Boys, men in general, are stupid, Mia. Their bottom head monopolizes their thoughts. I think you're old enough now to realize that. It's not like what you see in the movies by any means. I got lucky with Mason. But for a lot of my girlfriends, the first time they had sex, it was awful for them. Most guys don't know what they're doing, especially at your age. It's all about them. Totally selfish.
But older guys do. They have experience, right? I found myself asking, turning beet red.
She grinned.
Rick's older, right?
He'll be 17 next month, I answered, even though Rick was the furthest guy from my mind.
Do you want to do any of those things, Mia? You can tell me.
My eyes widened.
Oh, my God, you do! She got on her knees, all excited. With Rick?
Maybe, I lied, just to see where she was going with this.
I would never tell you to throw yourself at a guy. That's just slutty. But if he likes you, and you like him, and you feel like he's a good guy, then date him. Have fun and take your time.
Is sex and doing things that important in a relationship? If I didn't do things, would an experienced guy bother with me? I questioned, needing to know. It's not like I could talk to anyone else about these things, especially my mom. She was a saint. Of course, we talked about sex and stuff, but she just said I should wait until I was married. I guess that was every mom's advice to their daughters. Giselle was only 24. She was closer to my age and knew more about the way things happen now, compared to when my parents were growing up. It was nice to have someone to finally understand what I was going through and feel as though they weren't trying to baby me by telling me what I could and couldn't do. I appreciated her honesty. She felt like the big sister I never had.
I wouldn't say it was the most important thing, but it's a big part of a relationship. It can be scary, but if it's the right person, then it could be amazing. Sharing yourself with someone you love, it's a bond that nothing could come close to. It's a way to show someone you love them without having to say the words out loud. That being said, having sex with someone for the first time is a big deal. So before you make that leap, make sure it's for you, not them. Make sense?
Yes. Actually, that really does make a lot of sense.
I needed to show a certain someone my love.
She beamed. You better tell me if something happens, Mia. And if it leads to something else, then you always use protection. I don't care if he says his cock will shrivel up and die if he uses a condom. You make him wrap it up," she demanded in a stern tone. I laughed. Okay, I promise. Good. Now, let's watch this movie. We spent the rest of the night immersing ourselves in romance movies that only fueled my desire for a certain tattooed, broody, handsome man. We started watching Pearl Harbor, one of Giselle's favorite movies. She said she loved the story, but I knew she had a secret crush on Josh Harnett, a handsome soldier fighting for the love of his life. The irony was not lost on me. The further we got into the movie, the more it really resonated with me. I always knew Creed could get hurt, but I always imagined he was made of steel, and nothing could bring him down. I couldn't have been more wrong, realizing very quickly that life could change in an instant, and he would never truly know how I felt if he left in a few days and never came back, making everything Giselle said that much more real for me. We went to bed a little after 3 in the morning. I brushed my teeth and combed my hair, taking a good look at myself in the mirror, debating if I was honestly going to do what I had been thinking about all night. I jumped when I heard the front door open and some commotion, peeking into the hall to see what was going on.
"Where's my girl?"
Mason called out, stumbling around, barely remaining upright.
"There she is."
"Oh, God. How much did you guys drink? You reek of nothing but booze and cigarettes," Giselle asked, walking into the foyer.
"I want to make you feel so good,"
Mason rasped, pulling her into his arms, causing her to smile and laugh. "Okay, Romeo, let me take you to bed. Good night, Creed. You know where the guest room is." I peered over at Creed, who was looking at them the same way I was. Maybe it was the alcohol, but for the first time, I saw him look at them as though something was missing in his life, too. Love. I slowly backed away so he wouldn't see me, leaving all the doubt and hesitation at the door. I walked into his room.
Creed. After Loverboy and his girl said goodnight and made their way to Giselle's room, I went in the opposite direction toward the guest room on the other end of the apartment. I had spent many nights in that room. Her apartment was huge, but living there by herself, but her daddy could fucking afford it. I walked into the bedroom, not bothering with the lights. The moon gave off a soft glow from the balcony doors. I stripped down and threw my cut and clothes in the armchair and headed for the ensuite bathroom. I took a quick shower, needing to wash away the night. I hated going to bed stinking of bar stench and cheap perfume. I'd spent too many nights going to sleep in God knows what covering my fucking uniform when I was in Afghanistan. I found myself showering several times a day when I was on leave, needing to feel clean at all hours of the day. I threw my boxer briefs back on, opening the bathroom door to walk onto the balcony and smoke a cigarette, taking in the view of the ocean, questioning life, remembering how many soldiers' lives had fallen at the hands of the enemy, wondering which one of those bullets was really meant for me, why good men like Andrews or the wife and kid were ripped from this world, when scum like me was left to roam free, question after question plagued my thoughts as I stood there smoking, every thought more unforgiving than the last. I took a deep breath, finishing off my cigarette, flicking it off the balcony. Opening the slider, I walked back into the room, deciding at the last second to close the drapes, hoping to make it dark enough so I could make myself sleep in tomorrow, enjoying the last bit of freedom I still had. My body was so used to being up at the crack of dawn that I had never slept for more than a few hours a night. I pulled back the covers, getting into bed, hoping sleep would come fast, but knowing it wouldn't. Never did. Propping my head up on a few pillows, I laid there for a few seconds, allowing my mind to process what the fuck was going on, to prepare myself for the shitstorm that was about to go down. I switched on the soft recessed light in the right above my head. Still gazing up at the ceiling, I murmured, "What are you doing in my bed, Pippin?" I knew she had been lying there the entire time. I was trying to avoid the inevitable of having this conversation with her. As soon as she pulled back the covers, I jumped out of the bed, resisting the urge to look in her direction, knowing exactly what I'd fucking see. Throwing my jeans on, not bothering to button them, I sat in the armchair in the dark corner of the room, my face void of any emotion as I finally looked her way, taking in the fucking vixen sitting in front of me on the center of the bed for the first time, only dressed in her pink bra and panties, leaving very little to the imagination. She looked fucking sinful with her creamy white skin glowing in the moonlight, her long brown wavy hair that framed her beautiful face cascading down her back, making her look much more mature than the pigtail-wearing Pippin I'd grown to adore. With a predatory regard, my gaze continued to travel down, my eyes roaming over her tits that were popping out of the lacy fabric of her bra, slightly showing the outline of her nipples, to her slender hourglass waist, down to the top of her matching panties that barely covered her pussy. "Fuckin' A," I drawled out, locking eyes with her. "Not gonna ask you again."
"I wanted to see you,"
she coaxed, peering up at me through her lashes, gazing at me in a way I knew all too fucking well. "Could have seen me in the morning. Ain't right for you to be waiting in a man's bed, especially mine. If you're bro—"
"He's busy with Giselle, and he's never checked on me a day in his life. I don't see him starting tonight. Plus, they can't hear us. They're on the other side of the apartment. You have nothing to worry about,"
she reasoned. "Find that hard to believe," I scoffed out, shaking my head.
"Did you know I was spending the night, too?"
"No."
"Then how did you know I was in here?"
"I'm trained to," I simply stated, trying like hell to keep my eyes focused on her face, not her tempting fucking body.
"Like you could feel me."
"Something like that." She opened her mouth to say something, but quickly shut it. I could physically feel her conflicting emotions radiating off her in ways as we sat there in silence, knowing deep down she was up to no good. I wish I could tell you I didn't expect what would happen next, but I'd be lying, though nothing could have prepared me for this moment. I should have stopped her. I should have told her no. I should have done something, anything, except allow her to close the distance between us. She slowly, provocatively slid off the bed, making her way toward me, each step precise and calculated while her luscious hips swayed, never missing a fucking beat, only stopping when she was a foot in front of me, yearning for me to truly take her in. When my stare didn't leave her face, I didn't have to fight the internal battle for very long. She smirked, boldly leaning in. Her delicate hands moved down my chest in a slow, agonizing motion, causing my breath to hitch. Her fingers traced my pecs, moving down to the contours of my abs, stopping to trace all my tattoos along the way, as if she'd been wanting to since the first time she saw me shirtless on her balcony all those years ago. Countless women had touched me the way she was right in that moment, more times than I cared to fucking count. This was different. This was so meaningful, so emotional, so goddamn loving. This was Mia. My Pippin. When her hands started moving lower beneath my jeans toward my cock, I roughly shoved them away. She smiled. Gently placing her hands on my shoulder, she gradually started to climb up onto my lap, straddling my thighs, just waiting for me to stop her. I didn't. She sat up in my lap, tossing her hair over her shoulder, using her arms to pull us closer together so our faces were now only inches apart. Her ample tits pressed against my chest, making my cock twitch from this simple, delicate feeling. She wanted me to see her as a confident woman, showing me she was grown and no longer looking like a baby girl. But all the confidence in the world couldn't take away the nervousness exuding off of her. The awkward way she was sitting on my thighs, the way she was anxiously anticipating my response and waiting my next move. But then, she bit her lip, fucking baiting me. "What do you think is going to go down here, Pippin?" I questioned, arching an eyebrow. My hands craved to grip her waist and show her exactly what to do with her pussy, which had settled on my cock. Her fingers begging me to touch her, feel her up against me, aching for something I shouldn't, knowing it would only lead to fucking trouble.
"You're leaving,"
she purred, as if that answered everything. "No shit."
"What if you don't come back? What if something happens to you? Then you'll never know how I feel. How I've always felt about you."
"Jesus Christ," I breathed out. "Pippin, you don't—"
"Please,"
she interrupted with the sincerest expression on her pretty little face that I've ever seen.
"Don't tell me what I can feel."
Grabbing my hand, she placed it over her racing heart.
"You do this to me every time I'm around you. You're the one person in my life who's never made me feel like a child. I've known you since I was 9 years old, Creed. And from the first moment I saw you, I've thought about you every day since. Please."
"What do you want from me, Mia?" I asked, letting my hand slip from her chest and down her waist, unable to handle the feel of her smooth, silky skin under my calloused palms. I could see all the buildup, months of anticipation, longing, and desire in her eyes as she hesitantly leaned forward, placing her hands back on my chest, slowly bringing her lips to meet mine. It started off with just a peck until she opened her mouth, seeking out my tongue. This kiss was so much different from our last. It was all her now, showing me everything I had fucking taught her, just to shut her up. I let it go on. I enabled her, allowing her to feel like she was in control for a few seconds, carelessly letting my walls and reserve come crumbling down. She kissed me with all the passion she could muster, exploring my mouth in ways no one else ever had, bringing me to the verge of fucking losing myself, getting lost in the moment. Getting lost in her. Forgetting who the fuck was straddling me, my hands gripped onto her thighs, itching to move up to the seam of her panties. Fighting the battle between right and wrong. But she smelled so fucking good. A man could only take so much, and I was at my tipping point. I no longer had any control over my movements as she was sitting in my arms for the first time, sliding my hands along her smooth thighs to feel her soft skin against my fingers, gliding them up toward her waist, my thumbs pressing higher on the wire of her bra. "You're the prettiest thing I have ever laid eyes on," I rasped against her lips, kissing her, claiming her, fucking devouring her. She smiled, rotating her hips against my cock in approval. I gripped her waist hard like I wanted to do the second she straddled my lap. She gasped when I stood in one swift motion, wrapping her legs around my waist in a sudden shift in power. I never stopped kissing her as I made my way back to the bed, laying her down on the mattress, hovering over her heady frame, causing her breathing to escalate when she realized she was now beneath me. "For fuck's sake, what are you doing to me?" I whispered, resting my forehead on hers, looking down on her swollen lips. She was so beautiful. So loving. So fucking innocent. The way she was looking at me as if I was everything she ever wanted. Only encouraging me to keep going. I couldn't help myself. I kissed her more aggressively than before, crashing our lips together as I hovered over her small body, chastising myself mentally the entire time I continued to consume her mouth. Her hands went to the back of my neck, pulling me closer, but not nearly close enough. The kiss turned urgent and demanding as she met each and every pull. It was full of emotion, mixed with pure lust and something else I had never felt before. My hands continued to roam over her body, knowing I was the only man to have ever touched her this way was doing all sorts of things to my mind, especially my goddamn cock. It was conflicting. It was a struggle. It was the first war I was willing to lose. She tilted her head back, giving my lips more access to her flushed skin. I'd never been like this with any other woman, taking my time, wanting to explore every last inch of her body. Needing her. Wanting her. In a way I never had with anyone else. My mouth moved, kissing from her neck down to her collarbone, stopping just above her breasts that were rising and falling with each movement of my lips. I ran my tongue along the seam of her bra, leaving goosebumps in its wake, looking up at her with hooded eyes, slightly blowing her aroused skin, watching her come undone, wanting nothing more than to tear her bra off and take her perky tits into my eager mouth. I resisted, flicking her hard nipple through the fabric instead before continuing down her stomach, slowly savoring the elevated heat of her body pressed up against mine, getting hotter with each caress of my lips, touching her skin as I made my way to where I wanted to kiss her the most. A moan escaped her lips, and that was my undoing, like a fucking rubber band snapping some sense into me, my brain taking over my cock, realizing what I was doing, what I was about to fucking do. I jumped off the bed, leaving her there panting and exposed, breathless and aroused. Because of me. I tried to shake off all the bullshit she stirred inside of me, holding my head between my hands, pacing around the room, knowing I just fucked up royally. The first time I kissed her was mostly to shut her up. This time, it was an entirely whole other reason, one that I would put a bullet in someone's head for. I took a deep breath, grabbing my shirt off the chair and throwing it at her. "Put some goddamn clothes on," I snapped, mostly pissed at myself for letting it go this far. The last thing I wanted to do was hurt her feelings. I walked out onto the balcony, leaving the slider open behind me, lighting up a cigarette, leaning over the railing, needing to calm the fuck down. She stepped out shortly after, wearing nothing but my shirt and her panties, closing the slider behind her.
"Hey."
She grabbed my arm, turning me to face her.
"It's okay, Creed."
"It's far from fucking okay, Pippin."
"I love you,"
she said out of nowhere, almost knocking me on my ass.
"I've always loved you."
"You don't even know what that means, sweetheart. This is my fault. I should have never kissed you. I should never cross the line with you. But throwing yourself at me ain't right."
"Throwing myself? What the hell is that supposed to mean? I wasn't throwing myself at you, asshole. I can't believe you just said that to me. I love you."
"Shit. Mia, you don't know what you're saying. You're a kid, a goddamn virgin, who just got her first kiss a week ago, and now you think you're in love with me and want to fuck? Because that's what I do. That's who I am. Ain't your boyfriend. Ain't ever gonna be the man from your fairy tales, darling. I'm barely even your fucking friend. I regretted the words as soon as they came out of my mouth. She jerked back like I had slapped her in the face, and I guess in a way I just had. Pippin, I reached for her, but she stepped back.
Barely your friend?
She repeated, frowning.
So, we're not friends. I'm just some kid who's a virgin and just threw herself at you, yeah?
She mocked in a hurt tone. You're 15, I honestly spoke.
I was still 15 when I made your dick hard.
I'm a man, Mia. Doesn't take much to get my cock hard, especially when you're dry fucking the shit out of it with your pussy. She stood taller, eyeing me up and down.
You're not fooling anyone but yourself, Creed. You're using that as a cop-out, pushing me away because you're scared. You've been my friend since the moment you waited for me on the beach, watching me surf, smiling for the first time in who knows how long. As much as you want to fight, I know you love me too. I can feel it in here.
She placed her hand over her heart.
If you didn't, you wouldn't have stayed in my life for the last 6 years, looking for me, coming to see me, telling me goodbye before you left for the military when you didn't have to, taking my courage patch with you, so you would still have a part of me with you even when you're thousands of miles away, reading all my letters I've sent you, following me to the lake, listening to me when you don't listen to anyone, caring about how I feel when you don't even give a shit about how you're feeling.
She argued, pausing to let her words sink in. She stepped toward me, getting right up in my face.
Was that enough for you?
Cocking her head to the side.
No. How about going to such extreme lengths to chase Rick away? My first date. Acting all jealous that I was out with someone who wasn't you. Pretty much pissing on me, marking your territory as soon as you shoved my jacket against my chest. Not wanting any other guy's eyes on me except yours. And if that wasn't enough, you kissed me. Making damn sure your lips were the first ones I ever felt, not giving a shit that we were in a parking lot for anyone to see, especially my brother. You had way more of a chance to get caught that night than we did here.
Took a deep breath, contemplating what she was going to say next.
But most of all, you wouldn't have let what you just went down in there happen in the first place. As much as you think you're no good for me, using the excuse I'm only 15, you want to make sure I only remember your touch, your scent. Your lips, your hands all over me. You want me to be yours, and that fucking scares you more than anything, because you've never wanted that from anyone else. Not any of the women you slept with, not even Autumn. So cut the fucking bullshit, soldier, and man the fuck up. You're not hurting me. You're only hurting yourself.
I arched an eyebrow, grinning, hating myself for what I was about to do, but she needed to get it through her head that we weren't going to happen. Not now. Not ever. I crossed over the line. I fucked everything up. She was right. I needed a man up, pushing her away the only way I knew how. Think you got me all figured out, yeah? You haven't even scratched the fucking surface, darling. I don't love you. Not in love with you. When you flaunt your tits and pussy around, I'm gonna try to take it. I already told you, I'm a man. I fuck. Doesn't make you my fucking girlfriend, sweetheart. Just makes you another one of my whores. She shook her head, her eyes immediately watering with tears.
You said enough. Can't you see? Are you that blind? My heart is bleeding out for you, Creed. You might have hurt me right now, but when you're ready to admit it, I won't be there anymore.
I spoke with conviction even though it killed me inside. Truth hurts. You're a kid, Mia. I'm a grown-ass man who should have fucking known better. End of story. Now take your ass back inside. You don't belong in my fucking bed. With that, I left her there, knowing I'd just broke her heart. Walking away from the only other person who had always been there for me. Never expecting anything in return but for me to love her. Chapter 22. Creed. I was almost 25 years old and on my fourth deployment to Afghanistan. In a few short months, I'd be honorably discharged from the army for serving my country the last 4 years. One thing I knew to be true. I was more fucked up now than I was when I enlisted. That was for damn sure. My unit had been overseas for the last 6 months, surviving the only way we knew how. Taking more lives, adding more deaths to the notches in our belts, and losing ourselves a little more each day. It didn't help that Mia stopped writing me. I hadn't heard from her since I left her on the balcony at Gazelle's apartment 8 months ago. I spent the last few days of my leave keeping my distance, busying myself with the club and my brothers, giving her space. feeling like the worst piece of shit for hurting her in the first place. I didn't expect her to stop writing me, not that I could blame her, but it fucking pissed me off nonetheless. I missed her. I missed her smart-ass mouth, her wit, and the way she always caught me up on her life, making me feel like I was a part of it even when I was overseas. I was writing her letters in pink ink, signing it Pippin XOXO. Most of all, I missed the patches she sent me. Not just the funny ones, which always made me laugh my ass off, but also the ones that had only one word of encouragement written on them, sending them at times when I really need it, as if she knew. Sense of my despair like she felt me from the millions of miles between us. The last letter she sent me had her school picture in it. For some reason, the day we left on deployment, I brought it back with me, starting to carry it around with me everywhere. Realizing for the first time how much I needed her in my life. How she had been the only constant blessing I had since the moment I met her. Seriously, man, think about it. Had I not been forced to bend over and take it up the ass again, I'd either be eating steak or pussy right now, Owen stated, pulling me away from my thoughts. I chuckled, needing to laugh, even though I was on full alert, glancing around the empty streets with him following behind me. Mason and the rest of our unit were in the opposite alley, surrounding the building we were patrolling. An eerie feeling I knew all too well crept up my spine. I shuddered with the chill, protectively moving out in front of Owen. For a second I thought I saw movement out of the corner of my eye, but then a gust of wind blinded me with a fine powdery dust from the dirt in the stale dry air. "Shh, did you hear that?" I murmured, loud enough for him to hear me. "Fuck no, I didn't hear that. We've been here for 7 fucking days, patrolling the same fucking area over and over and over, and I haven't heard a goddamn thing. Stupid motherfuckers. They don't give a fuck about you, me, or anyone else. It's all about the almighty dollar, Creed. You know it, and so do I. 3 more weeks, my friend. 3 more weeks, and they all can suck my cock." I turned and pushed Owen, trying to give him a look, ordered him to post. "Shut the fuck up, Owen." He didn't listen. Owen had been fired up since they fucked up our orders to go home a little more than a month ago. Or so they said. We all knew why we were here, and it had nothing to do with paperwork. Didn't take too many fucking brain cells to figure it out, but it didn't matter. We hadn't seen another soul on this mission for the last 7 days, making it easy for him to let his guard slip a little when he should have been on point. Owen fucking knew better. He was just pissed about being there when he shouldn't have been, letting it consume him to the point of carelessness. I understood his frustrations. I wanted to go home too. I was exhausted, game fucking over, but I was too close to getting us the fuck out of there to fuck it up now. Owen coughed up fine dust, hacking up half a lung before continuing to be a goddamn idiot. "Chill, man. The whole unit has our back. Nobody's fucking here. You know the first thing I'm gonna do when I get home, Creed? I'm taking a fucking bubble bath of my wife's fancy-ass soap. I don't care if it makes me a pussy. I don't care if I smell like the poop fragrance she sprays after I take a shit in the bathroom. I'm fucking sitting in there, knowing, marinating in the fact that I never have to come back over here again, breathing in this fucking shit that who the fuck knows if it'll cause us fucking cancer one day. Or the whiff of rotting dead bodies every time the wind shifts." He nodded behind him. "Did you see that shit?" I did see it. I saw everything, but I didn't need to turn my head to see where the foul stench had come from. Just like everything I learned in all my years of service, my peripheral vision was sharper than most. With my eyes focused on the corner building, I avoided glancing to the pile of dead bodies. From that point forward, it all became a blur, and not from the gusts of wind filling my eyes with dry sand. It happened so fast, yet it seemed so fucking slow. I pulled my gun on a dog running from an alley at the exact same time I caught the sniper out of the corner of my eye aiming right for Owen, quickly realizing the dog was a goddamn distraction ploy. I took action, shoving him back as hard as I could with my gun out in front of me. A bullet whistled through the desert air, just missing the back of my head. If I hadn't shoved him, if I hadn't moved him out of the way, things could have been different, but they weren't. I regained my balance and ran several feet forward, taking out the sniper before he had the chance to try to take out Owen, shooting a bullet in the center of his forehead like it was just another motherfucking day. "Shit!" Owen called out. "You just saved my life, Creed!" He stepped forward at the exact same time I looked back. Boom! At first, I didn't even know what happened. My body jolted back from the impact of the landmine, roughly being thrown into a pile of rubble and rocks. Sharp pain radiated throughout my entire core, reaching places I didn't even know you could possibly feel pain. The wind knocked out of